Our lectionary gospel lesson today is back in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be continuing where we left off last week. We'll be in Matthew chapter 23. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. If you would like to stand for the gospel lesson, as is our custom, if you're able, I would encourage you to do so. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees, "Sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all students. Call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As you may know, and as I mentioned earlier, today is officially All Saints' Day as the Church Universal sets aside this day to celebrate the great saints of the past who have preceded us, upon whose shoulders we stand as a Church Universal today. It's sort of like a celebration of Hebrews 11 as they've gone on before us and they're cheering us on that we might also reach where they've reached one day there with the Lord. Now, of course, last night is what's traditionally known as All Hallows' Eve, aka Halloween, which historically was a time when saints prepared for All Saints' Day today by having prayer vigils at night. Well, of course, we know, historically speaking, that that got mixed up with some pre-Christian pagan Celtic practices of dressing up like demons in order to either ward them off or to fool them by pretending you were a demon. Interesting strategy, right? Well, the key word here today is pretend. Pretend. Because often we wear masks on Halloween to pretend we're someone else. But here's the question for the day. Some of you may have worn a mask yesterday, but why are you still wearing masks today? Now, the answer is obvious, isn't it? Because we're required by law and we're compelled by the love of God in order to protect others from the virus and protect ourselves and our loved ones, and that all makes sense. But this morning, I want us to see in our text today another sort of mask that religious folks often wear. And it's not a Halloween mask. It's not a COVID mask. Instead, it's a more insidious mask that we often wear. And that's the mask of what? Hypocrisy, right? In fact, the word hypocrite is a direct transliteration from the Greek, which literally means someone who pretends to be someone else by wearing a mask. It comes out of the acting world in Greco-Roman culture. And this is the term that Jesus applies to the Pharisees in our text today, as he literally calls them hypocrites. Verse 13, the next verse. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." I mean, Jesus, why don't you tell us what you're really thinking, huh? I mean, we also think of Jesus as this sort of a milquetoast Messiah, the shrinking violet, but I don't think so. "You hypocrites," he says it right to their faces. "You bunch of false-faced pretenders." Now, why does he say that? Well, verse 3 tells us For they do not practice what they teach. Or as we like to say, they did not practice what they preach. Thus they are hypocrites. Par excellence. Now the question this morning is, did the Pharisees have a monopoly on hypocrisy? What do you think? I mean, is that simply limited to first century Judaism? Hypocrisy. It is not. In fact, this has been a universal problem for religious folks all through the centuries, has it not? In fact, why is it that Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk, about 503 years ago yesterday, decided that the medieval church needed a major reformation? Why? Because so many priests and even popes were not practicing what they were preaching. In fact, historians tell us some of the Borgia popes, some of the de' Medici popes, some of the so-called Renaissance popes were anything but Christian-like. In fact, one pope treated the Vatican like a brothel. He had a different perversion every night. I mean, there's a church that needed reformation. After some of the comments of the present pope a couple weeks ago, they may need another reformation. But is that confined to the papacy? Hypocrisy? It is not. In fact, hypocrisy runs rife throughout the Protestant churches as well, does it not? In fact, it was Matthew Henry, the great preacher, who once said of a preacher that when in the pulpit, he preached so well that it was a pity that he went out. And in real life, he lived so ill, it was a pity he went back in. We know the type, don't we? In other words, he didn't practice what he preached. Instead, he wore a mask on Sunday that disguised who the real person was on Monday. In fact, I believe an accurate definition of the word for hypocrisy is the contrast between what you and I profess with our lips and who we really are. Isn't that a good definition of hypocrisy? The contrast, the gap between what we profess and who we truly are. And I believe if you and I were humble enough this morning to take off our mask for a moment and to look around, we could admit to one another that we're all hypocrites here. For none of us today here, nor any of those who are watching out there, actually live up to on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what we come here and proclaim on Sunday. Now that's a hard amen to get. Amen, Pastor, I'm a hypocrite too, that's what you're saying. I don't even think my good old amen or Mary Logwood would have amened that one, baby. By the way, I just heard from her. She turned 70 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah. So the first thing we need to see here today is that we are all guilty of being hypocrites. Just as we're all guilty of wearing masks whereby we pretend to be someone that we are not, right? So if that's a given, if that's the problem, then what's the solution? What's the solution? Well, I believe there are at least two solutions to this problem. Now, the first solution might be to get a better mask. Or to paraphrase that great line in the movie Jaws, maybe we need to get a bigger boat. Or maybe we need to get a bigger mask to cover all of our faults and foibles, right? Maybe that's one solution, right? And that was certainly the solution of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. For instead of focusing on their hearts and focusing, they focused instead on their masks. And Jesus elucidates this approach in verse 5 where he says, they do all their deeds to be what? To be seen. In other words, holiness is just a show. It's just an act. It's just a front. That's all it is to them. How did they do this? Well, they made their phylacteries large and their fringes long. Now, some of you are wondering, what's a phylactery? It's a little box prescribed in the Torah that the Orthodox Jew was to place upon his forehead, which contained key strict scriptures to remind that Jewish follower that God was ever before him and his word was ever before him. And that was the point of it, to remind themselves of God. But what did they do instead? They made their masks bigger. They made that phylactery box huge. So instead of pointing to God, who were they pointing to? Themselves. Look how holy I am. Look how big my box is. Right? So too, when they went out in public, instead of being humble, they were loud and they were proud, as they always wanted the places of honor in the banquets, you know, right next to the host. They had a whole pecking order. Whenever you went to a banquet, you knew exactly where you stood in the social pecking order by where you sat. And they always wanted to sit near the host because that was the prime position. And even in the synagogues, they got the best seats. They had the best seats up front so everybody could see them. So too, we know they loved the mask of notoriety. As Jesus tells us in the marketplace, they loved to be addressed officially, and in the synagogue they love to be called what? Rabbi, teacher, maestro, jefe. In other words, they were into official titles and labels and outward signs of distinction. That was their favorite mask of all, because holiness for them was all about them, not about God. Have you ever met anybody like that? Never, right? I've known a few. People who, you know, will take an entire hour out of your life to give a whole detailed account of their life and all the heroic things that they did. And they'll go on and on talking about all the great things they did, and they will never even once mention God. There's a problem with that picture, isn't there? Why? Because it's all about them. It's not about God. It's all about the show. Bishop Fulton Sheen once said that the proud man collects his newspaper clippings, but the humble man counts his blessings. Which are you and I? It was Andrew Bonner who said, you know, I can tell when my friends are growing closer to Christ or growing farther away from Christ by the way they speak and what they talk about. And if they talk more and more about Jesus in their conversation, then I know they're getting closer and closer to Jesus. Think about that. Think about your conversation. Think about the things that you talk about with others. How much do you talk about Jesus? Or do you talk about everything else but Jesus? Think about that. So if your purpose in life is to build a bigger and better mask, your focus in life is going to be on yourself and your own persona that you project to the world, right? That's what it's all about. We see this all over, even in the secular world. I mean, some of these Hollywood celebrities or influencers will take their sort of selfie stick and their phone, and they'll go out to a Black Lives March against or for police defunding. I mean, these are people who probably grew up in a lily white suburb who never had one black friend in their entire life. And when the march is over, they'll probably go back to their gated mansion with their armed guards. But they look good. It's called virtue signaling. It's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. Exactly what Jesus condemns. But the Pharisees have perfected that approach. One way they did it was they focused on outward trivialities to make them look good, but missed the heart of what God was all about. Right? Did you ever hear what Anthony Campolo once did? Anthony. He was a preacher who always pushed the edge of the envelope. He was an edgy guy. He once preached to a large gathering of holy religious folks, very highly religious folks. But he began his sermon by using a swear word, a curse word. I tell you, there was silence in that auditorium. There was tension so thick you could cut it with a knife. There was awkwardness. He said, what did he say? And you know what Tony said then? He said, you know what bothers me? Some of you people are more offended at that swear word than the fact that today 30,000 children will die of starvation. Boom. Right between the eyes. Isn't that the truth? Amen.
In fact, in these later passages, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. And they would do this with tithing. Now, tithing is a great thing. We should tithe our income. But you know what the Pharisees did? They not only tithe their income, they would go into their spice drawers and they would get dill and cumin and some other spices, and they would take them to the temple and they would put them on the altar and say, look at me, I even tithe my spices. To which Jesus said, you hypocrites, because you are neglecting the weightier matters of the law, like justice and equality and mercy and faithfulness. That's where God's heart is. That's what he wants to see in your hearts. So for them, it was all about a show. It was all about getting a bigger and better mask. That's one solution to the problem of hypocrisy, of dealing with that gap that separates who we pretend to be versus who we really are. That's the second thing we need to see. But the third thing that we need to see today is that instead of trying to build a bigger and better mask to disguise that gap between what we profess and who we really are, perhaps it would be wiser to focus instead on who we really are and try to get that closer and sink to who Jesus really is. Isn't that a better solution? I mean, instead of focusing on the external and the trivial, why don't we focus on the essentials of the heart? Become the people of God that we are really called to be, right? Wouldn't that be an improvement? For example, I have to confess that it's difficult as a preacher and a public speaker to preach to people who are wearing masks. You know why? Because it's hard to really connect, because I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not getting those nonverbal feedbacks. I don't know if you're confused by something I said, or convicted, or comforted, or confronted, or think I'm crazy. I mean, I can't tell. I mean, and for those of you out there, I don't know what you're doing. You might be in your underwear. Right? I mean, there's a wall there. It's difficult to preach in this kind of situation, right? But this too shall pass. But what will not pass so quickly is our propensity as Christians to wear another mask to church. And what mask is that? The mask that pretends that we have it all together. Oh, that everything's just right. Oh, our marriage is perfect. Our kids, oh, they're all successful. Finances, oh, money's rolling in. And we pretend, don't we? We pretend we've got it all together. We're these perfect little Christians. But folks, that's not how we're going to grow. That's not how we're going to close this gap between what we profess and who we are. And that's not how we're going to become the body of Christ. Is it? I mean, our purpose here is not to come and proclaim how good we are, but our purpose is to come here and proclaim how great God is. Amen? I mean, just look at the list of saints that we celebrate here on this All Saints Day. I mean, look at St. Peter. St. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. You can look it up. Paul was a murderous persecutor of the Church of Christ. St. Augustine, everybody's favorite saint, as a youth was a promiscuous, spoiled brat. Or if look at the catalog of saints in Hebrews 11, the so-called Hall of Fame. If you look a little closer, it's more like a rogue's gallery, isn't it? I mean, it includes people like that drunkard Noah, and that coward Abraham, and that shyster Jacob, and that braggart Joseph, and that adulterer and murderer King David, and that prostitute Rahab, and on it goes. E. Leonard Sweet says that the Old Testament doesn't try to hide the faults and the foibles of the saints. It shows us the saints in their underwear. which some of you are probably in right now, I know, out there. I see you. See, we play on Halloween by putting on a mask, pretending to be someone that we're not, but the way that Christians reclaim their identity on All Saints Day is by stripping off those masks and exposing who we really are and who we really love and what we're all about. When we do that, we will not be like actors who pretend to be saints from the outside in, but rather we will be genuine saints from the inside. Right? And when we do that, that's when our lives are going to speak to the world out there. That's when our lives are going to convince the world out there. That's when our lives are going to transform the world out there. That's what God wants from us today. In fact, in closing, I'm reminded of that famous story you may have heard about the elegant party in an English country manor where all of the well-to-do aristocrats were gathering amongst others. And after the meal, they always would have sort of like a talent show. If you had a talent, you stood up. If it was a recitation, maybe it was a song, maybe you played the piano, and you entertained the gathering. And one night, the story goes that there was a famous actor, Charles Laughton is the rumor. And they asked him to come up and make a recitation. And he got up there, and you know what he recited? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he repeated the Psalm 23 with perfect diction, perfect elocution, with great and timely, pregnant pauses, dramatization. When he was done, he got a thunderous applause by those gathered. But the story goes, there was a funny-looking older woman who had fallen asleep during the proceedings. She was getting up in years, and she was deaf as a fence post. So when they woke her, she wasn't aware of what had happened, and they asked her, would you like to say anything? And she said, actually, yes, I would. And in her frail voice, do you know what she recited? Psalm 23. She didn't know it had been recited. But she recited it in such a way that by the end of it, there were people in that gathering, that well-to-do gathering, who were actually weeping. Because they were so moved by the sincerity of her words. Afterwards, a guest went up to the actor. And they said, you know, I don't get this. I mean, your recitation was amazing. But how do you explain the fact that this funny-looking lady brought people to tears? In an uncharacteristic humility, you know what the actor said? He said it's simple. I know the song. She knows the shepherd. That makes a difference. When we really encounter Jesus, when we really know the shepherd, he humbles us by his holiness, but he transforms us by his grace. And we're never, ever the same again. And you can't fake that, folks. That's real, isn't it? And we know that. But guess what? Even the world knows that.
And that's what's going to make the difference, folks. That's what's going to bridge that gap between who we profess we are and who we really are. So I say to you this morning to come to the communion table by taking off that mask that we all wear of hypocrisy and come to this table as sinners in need of a Savior, as beggars in need of bread, and as hypocrites, yes, hypocrites, who need a real solution. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.